It is wonderful when the scripture reading is a verse that you are familiar with. Amen. It is a blessing to have a book like the Bible that gives us answers that are simple. They are clear. And when we think about studying the 23rd Psalm, it is simple and it is clear because it is familiar. That's one. We have had time to think about and to understand, comprehend it. That's two. And then lastly, and most importantly, it is the Word of God, the words of the Holy Spirit. It moves us. It strengthens us. And I want you to think about that image of the shepherd. We'll begin this morning in Acts chapter 20. And we'll think about the role of the shepherd as a time to strengthen and to prepare, and then the role of the shepherd as the one who provides the test that will establish the promise, the test that will establish the promise. So time is the first thing. In the 23rd Psalm, we are cast back into a time period of the early nation of Israel. They have become a nation. They are under the rule of a king. And in this sense, David, as one of the wisdom writers, in writing this beautiful psalm, he is drawing an analogy between the authority of God and what he provides, and also the relationship and the connection that we have as his children, as his sheep, if you will. It's very clear who he's talking about. The shepherd is God, the sheep are his people. And as we read through the beautiful book of Psalm, we see that illustration and we see that used often, God as a shepherd and the people as the sheep. And so is it any wonder that one of the names that are described in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, for those that are to oversee the congregation under God and certainly under the law he has given, a term is used there, pastors or shepherds. It has the same meaning. And I think that meaning is emphasized even more so in the sense of a shepherd. And let's go there for just a minute. Acts chapter 20. He says in verse 28, therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which is purchased by, by his own blood. So that's clear. It's simple. You have the shepherds and you have the body. What's unclear though is, what's the connection to time? Well, first of all, the time for us being together as brothers and sisters in Christ does not begin at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock. It begins when we obey the gospel. When we're added to the body through baptism, through repentance of sin, through confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, we become a part of a family. And the time of our lives begins and ends according to the promise of God. I don't know how long I'm going to live. I hope I live a long time. But I know the longevity of my life is not under my control. Amen. It's how I use this time to better prepare myself and to build a connection in that relationship with my shepherd. And maybe that's what David is emphasizing, and we'll talk about that a little bit. But the time that I have as a sheep in the pasture of life, guided by this shepherd, began the day I obeyed the gospel. And so that poses then a condition. What about those who have not obeyed? Well, we still have a shepherd, amen? Because we know we have brothers in all mankind through Adam. But certainly there is a distinction made between those who have been born again, John chapter 3, 5 through 7, and added to the body of Christ. So now as those born again, as children of God, we have been added to the flock. That's what's mentioned here. Just using the text itself. We are part of the flock, the family, the church, the kingdom, the body. That's us. And so our relationship is we are spending time as we're growing in our relationship with the Father. And so in this larger sense, we have this relationship that is unending. Amen. Because where is the eternal destination of the church? It is in heaven. Every one of us are striving not to have this relationship for a little while, but to have it eternally. We'll have it with the Father in heaven. We'll have it with one another. That's our goal. That's what we pray for. That's what we pray for each other. We're praying for that time. That time of eternity when this promise that God has made will be fulfilled. He goes on, the writer of the book of Acts, verse 29. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. There's another illustration there, isn't it? We've got the shepherd, that's God. We've got the sheep, that's us. And he says there's a wolf. Who is the wolf? That's Satan. And he says he will come in among the flock. He cannot come into the body, but he certainly can be among us while we're on this side of eternity. And so how we relate to the time that God gives us in this place as sheep in his flock will make a determination where we're victims of the wolf over time or if we've been protected by the shepherd over time. He says in verse 30, also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. So now we know exactly who the sheep are. He says it's the disciples, those who follow after Christ. That's us. What are we striving for? To keep ourselves from the wolf and from evil men. Now, which one can we be? We can be good men and we can be evil men. Amen. We can be one of the both. We have been blessed with the time, the opportunity. So that as we think about that beautiful illustration, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God gives us time and we're not wanting for it. Do you know how many people would have liked to be here on this Lord's Day, in this place, at this time? And maybe they've gone on to their reward. Or maybe they've lost their lives tragically. Or maybe they are physically debilitated from being here. Or otherwise, they just can't be here in this moment because of their own choices of how they misuse their time. But God says that now we, as his people, must realize the gift of time. God has given us everything in this time so that we shall not want. Amen. That's us. Hold your place there. And I want you to think about this verse in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, he says, or let's start at verse 10. But may God, the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. We need time, brother. We need time. We need time to understand what does it mean to be perfected? How do I live in perfection as a sheep? I'm in the perfect place, amen, where everything is provided. The shepherd provided everything for the sheep. And so in this place, we can be made perfect over time. That's why it's a gift. It's a gift because God has afforded me another opportunity to repent every day. Another opportunity to grow in strength, to grow in love, to grow in knowledge, and to grow in wisdom every single day. How do I know this? Because tomorrow's not promised, amen? Yesterday is gone. All I have is today. And so let's keep reading. He says, there are those that want to draw away the disciples after themselves. 31, therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. There's time again. He says, for 3 years I was with you. All this time interacting, going in and going out with Barnabas. Well, you say, well, 3 years is not a long time, but it's long enough, amen? It's long enough to build a relationship. There's a relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. You see that? The shepherd cares for the sheep. The shepherd provides this place where, what do we read? He says, perfecting, establishing, strengthening, and settling. This is the place where you have peace and you have time to develop it. No one enters in a relationship with a boyfriend or girlfriend after the first day. You need more than one date. And if you're going to get married, you need at least two dates. We need time. And God gives us that time so that we're not wanting. We're building something. Don't you care about the friendships you've built over time? Yes. I want those friends that I've had all the way back. My oldest friends. That's special when you say that. This person is my best friend and one of my oldest friends. The relationship that they had here with Paul, that he's emphasizing with these churches at Ephesus that the scholars believe that he's writing this or described here, is a relationship that wasn't easily broken. You cannot do anything to hurt a best friend that you've had for 20 years. You know why? Because you've already hurt him that way before. And you all made up. And you built that connection. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. With time also comes a test. He leadeth me beside the still waters. This time that he's had, God does with us, gives us a time to mature. And how do I know if I'm matured or not? I need the testing. I can't know how strong I am, guys, until I get under that bench press and try to bench press 225. If I lift it off the bar, I'm good. If I bring it down and bring it back. But if I get stuck, I need someone to spot me and take it the rest of the way. It's a test. You may have thought you were strong because you lifted 200 or fill in the blank. Whatever thing in your life that you think you have at hand, I'm stronger, I'm smarter, I have this skill, I have this knowledge, I have this career, I have this family, I have this status in society, whatever it is, there's a test that comes. And God is there to strengthen us with the test so that we mature. He says, take heed to yourselves and to the flock. Shepherds. Now there he's talking about the physical shepherds. Why do we have to take heed to ourselves? Now note, the Holy Spirit is not just applying this to elders, pastors, shepherds, presbyters, overseers. All those names are talking about one office. But it's for every one of us as Christians. Amen? We are taking heed to ourselves. That's the test. Watch over yourself so that when you mess up, I'm going to go back to God. Where did the sheep know the water was? The shepherd led them. He goes on. And thinking about this relationship, Peter says, I'm just going to refer to this, in verse 7, he says, casting all your care upon him, he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect and establish. See how he's laying that out? There's something you're going to be established in, and that's the testing. I want to mature and grow in faith. Thus, I recognize I need the shepherd. We mentioned this in Bible class. Maybe you've thought about this. Why is the 23rd Psalm one of our favorite psalms? I submit to you, it's just its simplicity. Even the verses themselves are shorter than other verses in the Bible. It's something that's easily accessible even for a child. Is it not usually one of the first verses or passages of scripture that you teach your children? It's simplicity, but not simplistic. there's so much richness and wisdom here when he says, now in verse 32, we're back in Acts 20, 32. He says, so now, brethren, I commend you to God and the word of his grace. The shepherd has already done his work with the sheep in ancient times. David as a shepherd. Now there's a work to be done in your life and my life today. And it's not the work of the shepherd taking sheep to green pastures. It's me going to God when I need his healing waters. It's me having the vulnerability, being open enough to say, I can't do this on my own. I do need God to be there to help me because there is an adversary out there. And today, you know what? I didn't pass the test. I messed up. I failed. But you know what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to go out there and greet Satan again. I know how that goes. I know how that plays out. I'm going to come back to God. I'm going to build a relationship with him because his word is grace. Amen? Amen. His word provides the opportunity now. And with that opportunity is time. With time, tests come. But you know what else comes? Rewards. What is the great thing that James says, right? Count it all joy when you fall into. He's not talking about permanently. He's saying temporarily you fall into trials and temptation. That the trying of your faith will have its result. That's a reward. I want to grow, mature, and be stronger after the test. Amen? I know the shepherd is providing the best place to test. He's not providing a place for me in the body of Christ where I fail and I'm done. So do not ever listen to anyone who says, turn your back on God if you messed up. Don't go back there. That's a lie of Satan. The place to come to is the place where people are going to put their arms around you and strengthen you. This is not the place where you're tested. Amen? This isn't. I want you to understand that. I'm not saying that Satan can't attack us even when we're in the body. Yes, he can, but this is the place where we are our strongest. This is the place where God is going to protect us. What the test does, then in its fullest sense, he says, the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. It builds me. If I'm tested by the sins, the trials, the stumbling blocks that God allows for the devil to put in my way, I can get stronger if I turn to God. Now, note, I didn't say if I pass the test. The stumbling block is there to see, right? Think about the temptation. We mentioned this from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 13 and following, that every temptation has an out. I don't have time to really talk about that a lot, but every temptation has an out. But just because I didn't take the out doesn't mean God hadn't provided for me. The test of the temptation then says, hey, was I able to endure the temptation? Good, you're stronger in this area. But you know what? There may be a different type of temptation just around the corner. And if you fall to that one, what do? You come back to God. You ask for his help. You repent of those things, and you will get stronger. God didn't put the test there for you to fail so he can wash his hands of us. He wants us to understand that relationship. That's what makes this beautiful illustration of the shepherd so clear. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Brethren, why would I want to come to a church, a body, a kingdom, where every effort that I make to please God works in vain? I wouldn't want that. But sadly, that's the view of the body of Christ. We are not going to give in to that. Amen. We are going to remember this is the place where we are stronger. You are stronger because you came and you worship God together this morning. The beauty of the time that God provides, he says, is that after you built up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. He says, I've coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. You know, one of the tests that comes over the maturity that God wants to bring is that we begin to point the finger at somebody else. We point the finger at someone else because they said, I'm tested because of you, amen? Husbands, wives. Sometimes the people that are closest to us can hurt us the deepest, yes. But if I'm not open to those hurts, you know what else? I can't receive their love. I can't receive their forgiveness, their compassion, their tenderness, all those things. This relationship between the shepherd and the sheep, between the elders and the flock, between us and God, is one that we are okay. We are okay if we have made these mistakes because we don't point the finger at God. God allows the test. He does not send them. That's an important distinction. God does not test anyone. He allows it so that we are going to get stronger. Think about this beautiful account from the standpoint of Jesus' position. When they're there at what we refer to as the Last Supper, it's the last occasion that the disciples are going to be together, and Judas is there. And yet Jesus does not say, Judas, you got to go. I know what you're going to do, so go ahead. No, Jesus is hoping that even if it's at the last second, Judas will change his mind. That's the kind of love God has for us. He can sit right there with the enemy, knowing what they're going to do, but he also gives us the opportunity to change. I can come back. I can be the one to return back. What's the consequences if we don't heed that time and that test? Well, we end up like Judas. We end up in a condition that's so terrible, I just don't even want to face it. The guilt, the pain, how many people I've hurt. I've hurt myself. I've hurt others. That shame is there. And for some people, they just cannot face it. You ever wonder why some people that have been away from God and you say, well, just come back. And they say, no, I just cannot. I cannot even think about approaching that. I know I've hurt others. I know I've hurt God. And I just have to keep that chapter of my life closed. But just remember this. If Judas could come to Jesus, then who am I to say, I'm so bad that I can't come to Jesus? If Peter or anyone else that we read about who failed God in these temporary and specific ways and unique ways, if they were able to come back to God, can't you and I come back? I submit to you, absolutely we can. God wants us to remember the word of his grace. Now let's turn to Psalm 23. We mentioned that David the shepherd is using this illustration about the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. We mentioned that the sheep are in a pasture or they're in an area where the shepherd provides and protects, which implies two things. In the pasture, we have what? No desires, no needs. Everything is provided for us. Verse 2, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. I know you have probably heard it talked about before, the fact that sheep in ancient times, I don't know about today, but in times of antiquity, they would drink only from still water, not running. Verse 3, he restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Everything that I do as a sheep, Jesus the shepherd provides. And it is to his glory, not mine. Verse 4, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I love studying with Brother Robert Taylor Jr. while he was alive. He wrote a terrific book on the book of Psalms. But he had this illustration. He says a shepherd has a rod and he has the shepherd's hook. The rod is for the wolf. The shepherd's hook is for the sheep. And he said, elders, be careful that you don't use the rod on the sheep and the hook of the shepherd's hook on the devil. We can do the same thing if we're not careful. We can do it with our spouses. We can do it with our children. We can do it with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. As a guest in antiquity, when you went to someone's house, if there wasn't enough food for you to stay, they would only fill the cup halfway. If you could stay as long as you wanted, they would fill the cup all the way to the top. All these ancient symbols about how God provided. Verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There is a house of the Lord, amen, today. We've talked about it, the kingdom, the body, the church. We've talked about the importance of terms, right? The term shepherd, pastor. Those are specific and unique, and they describe unique qualities. The church, the called out body, the connection between us as brothers and sisters in Christ, the kingdom, that place that God prepared. If God has prepared for his sheep in the temporary, he has prepared for it also in the eternal. This life is temporary, brethren. But we have a provider who has made a way for us in eternity. Look at your family. Look at your brothers and sisters in Christ. There's not a guarantee that we'll see one another next Lord's Day. But there is a guarantee we can see one another in heaven. I can make that assured for myself, but I can't make that assured for you. But I do ask for you to pray for me, and I'm certainly praying for you, because we need one another to make it in this life. The beauty of the 23rd Psalm is that God provides. He's provided this way and this time, and he's testing us. Right at this moment, maybe there's something between you and God that only you and God know about. But you can repent of it right where you are. Because you are his child, he will hear if you sincerely ask for forgiveness. And you can let it go. If you're not a Christian, this is the place. This is the time for you to make a decision about your relationship with God. You can be right with him. We'll pray with you and we'll assist you in any way you need as we stand, as we sing.